This Advent, we've been looking at a series of sermons called Christmas Is, where we kind of think, what does it mean to us? And we've dealt with Christmas Is time fulfilled, and Christmas Is a word that is spoken. And today we turn to Christmas Is a mother's story. And we're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I'd like to read just a few selections from the Christmas story. And I'd like you to think about what kind of person this is. What kind of impression does she leave with you? Okay. This is from Luke chapter 1. And this is the angel Gabriel comes visiting. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. You find Mary does a lot of pondering in the Christmas story. She pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And a little bit later in chapter 1 of Luke, and Mary said, this is called the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." He's looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. "And surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Time magazine called Mary, the mother of Jesus, the most important woman in religious history. Our Roman Catholic friends revere her. In Protestantism, she's regarded as an example of faith. But what kind of person was she? What were her circumstances? Today, I'd just like to look at the brief snapshot we have of her in the Christmas account, to see what she was like, how she's portrayed, and what this might have to say to our own lives today. How is she an example for us? One thing I find as I read the Christmas account is that Mary was poor, and she was young. Both Protestant and Catholic scholars agree that she was probably 12, 13, 14 years old, something like that. This, you know, people didn't live that long back in those days, and they got married early. So she's young, she's poor, in the account, she's nothing that makes, she has nothing that makes her really stand out. Intelligence isn't mentioned, talent isn't mentioned, beauty isn't mentioned. She's just a normal person, a peasant girl. She's a lowly peasant girl. And she says, the Lord, you know, has looked upon me with favor. She's looked upon my low estate. And that's remarkable, you know, that God would choose really a nobody to be the mother of Jesus. He didn't choose some of the fine ladies from Herod's court. He didn't choose the dazzling Cleopatra, queen of Egypt. But he chose this person. There was nothing outstanding, but she's just a very common person, poor, peasant. And yet there's one thing, and that's her faith. You know, maybe God doesn't look at people with our standards, but maybe he looks within for other qualities inside us. Hank Aaron was a great ball player in his day, Hall of Fame ball player. And one day he was in a hotel down south, and he was applying for a room. He wanted to get a room. And there was a young man at the desk, and the young man said, I'm sorry, sir, but we're all filled up. We don't have any rooms left. And across the way, there was the manager of the hotel, and he looked at Hank Aaron and recognized who he was, and he came running over and said to the young man, you know, don't you realize who this is? This is Hank Aaron. He just broke Babe Ruth's home run record, Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves. The young man said, I'm sorry, sir. Of course, we'll find room for you. Why didn't you say you were somebody? And Hank Aaron replied, son, everybody is somebody. Everybody is somebody. And I think, you know, that applies to Mary, but it also applies to us. And I've always liked Martin Luther's comment on this passage of Scripture, where he says to his congregation, Martin Luther was the German reformer back in the 16th century. And he said to his congregation about this passage, and I'm sort of editing his words here, but he said, you know, you may come from poor circumstance. You may, at this Christmas time, be facing a hard time too. But that doesn't mean it's the last word. Doesn't mean it's the last word. Look at Mary, what she went through, and how poor she was. And yet, think about what God did with her. And think about what God can do with you and me as well at this Christmas time. You know, there's no telling, regardless of our circumstances, who we are, our age, or what, there's no telling what God can do with you and me. What else do we find in this account? I think I find fear, but I also find in this young girl a great deal of courage. I'm not sure I could have been as courageous as she was. You know, angels in the Bible, they're sort of news from another network. They're not PBS or NBC. This is news from another network. They bring news and insight, which is true, but which we cannot develop ourselves through our own intelligence, through our own insight. It's something beyond our ability. That's what the angels bring. And her first reaction is she's scared. She steps back, and the angel says, no, don't be afraid. And remember how the shepherds, when all of a sudden the heavens just burst into song, and the ground trembles with the sound of it? Those shepherds are scared. They take a step back. And it's interesting, you know, Mary had a lot to be scared about. She had a lot to fear. And I'm just amazed at the bravery that she shows. She lives in, you know, what today would be called an honor culture. The individual is not important. What is important is the group. What is important is the family and the family's honor. That's crucial. And when she comes pregnant to Joseph, he can turn her away. And in an honor society, her own parents would be dishonored by her condition. That takes guts to face that in that kind of society. And I don't know how it would be with you, but she gives birth in Bethlehem. That's away from Nazareth, maybe 70 or 80 miles. Pregnant? How would you like to ride or walk 70 or 80 miles? And then deliver a baby. And again, you're just young. 13, 14, 15 maybe. You're just young. To have your first child away from family, away from friends, away from any kind of support. And where? In the shelter of a cattle stall? I'm not sure I could do that, but she did it. Emily Shepherd, our sergeant, once said that courage is quietness, not martial music made, born of facing up to life, even when afraid. You know, just being a parent is hard enough, isn't it? It's a great joy, but it's hard. And I think we all struggled with how to do it. Do you remember Dr. Spock? The younger ones may not know Dr. Spock. He was the big guy on how to raise children. And I recall when we were, Patty and I were talking about having a family, there might have been 30 books on how to raise kids, and not one of them agreed with the other. They were all different. But Dr. Spock was the one we chose. And just off as a sidebar, Patty and I knew Dr. Spock's mother. And when I was in divinity school, Mrs. Spock, Dr. Spock's mother, lived behind the divinity school. And when the girlfriends came to visit the ministers-to-be on the weekends, they would put the girls up at Mrs. Spock's. She put everybody up, okay? And she was very nice. She was very nice. But Patty stayed with Mrs. Spock when she came to visit. And I do remember Dr. Spock asking a group of mothers, would you do it all over again? And they said, yes, but not with the same ones. And somebody asked him, when was the right time to put the kids to bed? And he answered, while you still have the strength. But just think about the responsibility of raising children, the joy, but the responsibility. What Jesus will learn at Mary's knee. It's a joy, but it's scary too. And something we often overlook in the Christmas celebrations is this girl had a rough time. If you follow the account in Matthew, Herod's out to get them, and they have to flee. Flee to Egypt. They're refugees in a foreign land that speaks a foreign language that has foreign customs. In one church I served, I had a nationally and worldwide renowned doctor. He taught at Yale. And he was a guy who actually is probably one of the few Americans who had an award from the Soviet Union. He was son of the Soviet Union or something like that. One of their top officials had to have an operation, and they called on him to come in and help. And it was a successful operation, so he got this award. But I preached one Sunday on the refugee status of the Holy Family. And afterwards, he came and he thanked me. Because it turned out he had been a refugee himself and had come to this country with absolutely nothing. Think about a young mother in a refugee camp. You know, if the Holy Family were here today, they'd be in the UN camp in Jordan or in Kenya, place like that. This is a very brave girl. And I think if this is a hard Christmas for us, take a look at Mary. And I think her bravery is an example to us. It's an example to put steel in our backbone and hold our heads high no matter what we're facing this year. Mary is poor, she's young. She's a very brave young woman. And there's something else about her that fascinates me. And that is she ponders. Not once, but three times in Luke's account, she's pondering, she's reflecting. And pondering is one of those Latin words that indicates weigh, you're weighing something. Our word pound comes from it. She's weighing things, reflecting on what's the meaning going on here. I can recall when our first child was born. All our kids were born in Africa. And when our first child was born, I was with Patty right up to the end. You could be right up to the end in those days. but you couldn't be there for the actual delivery. But I heard that first cry of life, and I pondered. I was really spaced out, but I pondered about the meaning of it all, about new life and just the miracle of everything. Mary pondered. She ponders what the shepherd says. She ponders what the angel says. She reflects on the meaning of it all. And I think that's what Advent and Christmas is about, isn't it? It's a call to reflect, to ponder things. You know, sometimes, and I'm included in this, we get so busy at Christmas time. We're running around so much, getting the house ready, doing preparations, doing shopping, doing this, doing that, that we're too exhausted, really, to stop and just reflect on what it's all about and the game changer that has happened. That here, in a cattle stall, in a scene of utter poverty, God's eternal love has come to us to take us to his heart. That's worth reflecting on. That's the real game changer in everything. Amen.